DRI is 30 years old this year. What can you say about being able to tour, record, and still play in a band there is a demand for, and after all these years, and what's your favorite part about it?
It's amazing. We feel like really blessed to be able to be going all over the world and to be asked to go back, and you know, time and time again, and with no new album and all these years, and it's more than we could ever ask for or hope for. What was the other part of the question?
What's your favorite part about it?
Favorite part about it? Actually playing the show and meeting people, and you know, and then just being able to travel and see the world and all that kind of stuff is great too. And you know, the worst part's probably just long drives and the part the fans don't really see, you know what I mean? The actually getting to the show so that you could get on stage for that hour and a half.
Right.
Is pretty tedious and boring sometimes, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Awesome.
Is the Untitled 8th studio album going to come out anytime in the near future? Have there been any new songs written?
We have some new songs. We might be playing some tonight. We do want to record another album, but like I said, we've been so busy lately, and they just keep asking us to go here and there, and you know, throwing money at us, and there are no record companies really throwing money at us to say, hey, come and record another album. So now that Spike's healthy, I think we can sort of start talking about that more seriously.
Explain what goes into booking a DIY tour, the differences between a DIY tour and a label back tour.
A label back tour, I guess you would be meaning that they're giving you some tour support money.
Right.
That just means that in case a band, like if you're just starting out and maybe you're not super well known, you can't really afford to go on tour because you're not going to be making that money, much money at the shows to be able to afford to rent a van or whatever you have to do, trailer and all that stuff. So sometimes a record company will lend you the money, like give you an advance basically just to get you out there to try to grease the wheel and get it going, you know, but doing it yourself, I guess you're just having to pay for everything yourself and having to either have somebody book it for you or booking it yourself and just having to probably tough it out a little bit more until you get popular enough where you can start making enough money to actually survive on tour in a decent way.
Many of these shows, if not all of the shows that you guys are playing, have local openers. Are there any that you really enjoy that you'd like to take out with you?
Well, I mean, some of them, yeah, but, you know, some of them can't really go out. And each night we play on an opening band's equipment, so we get to see, you know, I'm there all day selling the T-shirts and stuff, so I get to see all the bands usually, but not everybody in the band is there for every band every night. Yeah, I mean, we have taken other bands out with us before on the road and everything, but that's right now, that's just not how we're traveling. We travel alone and play with different bands every night, playing on different equipment every night. It's kind of, it can be good and it can be bad. You never know what kind of equipment you're going to get.
Right.
But we have taken other bands with us and everything. It just, we're constantly evolving in the way that we tour. And right now, we're doing it alone with no roadies or anything.
Wow.
And no opening band that travels with us.
How do you feel about the venues for local bands and the lack of promoting they do, as well as pay-to-play shows where the bands are required to sell a certain amount of tickets for the venue or else they don't play, or worse, are banned from the venue?
I know all about the pay-to-play thing, and I hate it, but at one point some promoter, you know, explained it to me, and it kind of made sense in a way. He said that he has all these local bands that are just saying, like, we got a big draw, we'll have tons of people here and everything, you know, and basically the promoter's saying, prove it, and actually sell some tickets, you know. If you say you're going to have hundreds of people here, shouldn't be a problem for you to go sell those hundreds of tickets. And then, you know, it comes down to where sometimes we play shows where there's pay to play, and they might have the opening bands had to sell some tickets, but they couldn't actually sell any tickets. So their parents will, like, buy the tickets, you know. But then there's nobody there. It's like, yeah, it's cool. They sold the tickets. We still get paid. We're getting the money, basically. So it can be good and it can be bad. I mean, I can understand the promoters wanting to try to make bands prove themselves, you know, but it's just, it's kind of screwed up. I don't see how it's going to... It's not everywhere. I mean, I'm pretty sure they don't do that in Europe or other countries and stuff. It's mostly certain places in the United States that they do it. So hopefully it doesn't spread like wildfire all over the world, you know?
Right.
Was it better before with venues, or was it always the same?
As far as pay-to-play and stuff like that goes.
Well, the pay-to-play thing didn't start until after we had already kind of become more established.
Okay.
So we didn't have to start out in that way. The way we started out, it was like small venues, like kind of like Webster Hall.
Right.
Just basically on nights where they didn't have a national act coming through, they would just let the local bands play, and you didn't get paid anything, maybe a six-pack of beer or something like that.
Right.
And we were just happy to have the place to play in, and you know, there'd be a few people there, mostly just people from the opening bands, and just have like a little party type thing. But it gave us a chance to kind of, you know, get used to playing on stage and practice our songs live and stuff like that.
Right.
And then, you know, once we started touring around and everything, some of the shows were still like that with just not very many people, and, you know, promoters, they don't really care to promote it a lot if they're not paying you a lot. You know what I mean? If a promoter has to pay you a couple $1,000s or something like that, then they're probably going to promote the show and make sure there's people there. If you're playing for a six-pack of beer, then they might promote it, they might not. They don't really care that much.
Right.
What would you say would be the best advice for local bands trying to get out there and make a name for themselves, starting a scene, and eventually going out on the road?
Try to make a really good demo, a good-sounding demo, and just play every place they'll let you play. Just try to find like-minded individuals in the band that aren't going to puss out and fucking, you know, quit the band because you're traveling or not making enough money or whatever. People that are willing to stick it out. Try to come up with a good logo, make shirts, you know, and help you on your way, sell merchandise. You'd be surprised how many people will try to support the band. You know, they'll feel sorry for you or just want to actually help you on the way and buy a shirt off of you, even if they don't like the band so much or the design so much or whatever. So have stuff available for them to buy, so help you get to the next show, you know, for gas and stuff.
Right. What do you think of Harold's book, Murder in the Front Row?
Awesome. He's working on a new one now, too.
The
same publisher, yeah. But this next one's going to be only his photos.
Oh, okay. The same Bay Area stuff, or?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay. You've written several books yourself. Are you going to write any more?
Possibly. It's just wasn't really making very much. It was like you have to buy like 1,000 at a time to make it worthwhile, and then you just end up with like boxes and boxes of books in your house. And
oh.
I didn't have room for all that stuff and everything,
right.
And I could only bring a certain amount with me on every tour
right.
to sell. So it was just like a big investment for not very big return. So
I see.
It just kind of fizzled out. But hey, if I got a good story to tell, I will tell it. Sure.
What do you do in your downtime?
I buy and sell guns, and mostly that's it. Travel stuff.
Cool. What kind of gun's your favorite?
Yeah, that's like apples and oranges, you know. It's hard to say. Right now, I've been really into revolvers, Smith & Wesson, older Smith & Wesson revolvers, and 308 rifles, and that's mainly it. But I got all kinds of guns.
What's going on with Pasadena Napalm Division?
Working on a record deal. Got one label especially interested. Should be happening real soon.
Cool.
I'd say it'll be out for sure next year. They're saying the beginning of next year, but I know how that goes. So
right.
A lot of delays usually. I'd be happy if it'll come out by next summer. Now we start touring.
What's the ORI's future plans?
Oh, by the way, the Pasadena Napalm Division, the album's finished, and it's all recorded mixed and mastered, and just waiting to put it out.
Wow.
Already had the artwork and everything, so it's done. 14 original songs. With DRI, what?
What's the future plans?
We'll just keep on touring right now and try to, you know, keep our heads above water.
Who did the artwork for the Pasadena Napalm Division album?
A guy named Craig Holloway, really good artist.
Okay, cool.
From Austin.
Awesome. What's your thoughts on new thrash crossover, and does it hold up to the older stuff?
Yeah, I guess it does. You know, I mean, it's popular. People like it. I'm friends with Municipal Waste. The singer, Tony, He sings on Pass the Napalm Division album. He sings backup on probably like half the album. And
okay.
I also gave him one complete song where he sings, he wrote the lyrics and he sings the lead vocal on one song.
Awesome.
The song's called Murder the Bearded Lady Killer. And I sing backup on that one, but he sings the lead vocals on
that's
it.
Awesome.
So trying to work with the old and mix it together with the new. And
yeah. And last but not least, what's your superpower?
My superpower?
Yep.
Probably being able to hold my piss on long drives for, you know, 8 hours or whatever, and also be able to scream my lungs out every night without any warming up or anything like that, and somehow still being able to do it night after night.
Awesome.
Without losing my voice.
Great.
I have two superpowers.
Awesome. Thanks, Kurt.